Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so awesome. Honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. This Friday, I will be in Portland, Oregon at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. It's a fucking gorgeous concert symphony hall. I'll be there with Dan Cook. If you live in Portland or Bend or Salem or Ashland or in the surrounding Oregon area, come out and see me and Dan Cook at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall Friday in Portland, Oregon. Saturday, big hometown show opening for Dane at the Paramount Theater. I used to see musicals there all the time. I've seen Burr there. I've seen Chris Rock there. It's the shit, and I'm going to be opening for Dane at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington, October 12th. That's a Saturday. Get all these tickets at danecook.com. And then next weekend, I will be with Dane in, where are we going? We're going to Pittsburgh on October 17th, the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on October 17th, Seminole Hard Rock Hotel in Northfield, Ohio on the 18th, and then Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut on October 19th. All that ticket info at danecook.com. Brad Williams this weekend is going to be in Buffalo, New York at the Helium Comedy Club. Go see Brad Williams. Helium, Buffalo, New York, October 10th through the 12th. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your past and present eps. You know that. And speaking of present eps, holy shit, today is Blake Griffin
You know him as a fucking NBA superstar. Holy shit. Currently plays for the Detroit Pistons. He was selected first overall by the Clippers in the 2009 NBA draft. Six-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA selection. Won four high school titles at Oklahoma Christian School. Played two seasons for the Oklahoma Sooners in 09 before being drafted by the Clippers. Was an All-Star, won the dunk contest, and was named Rookie of the Year in 2010. And then 2011, Sports Illustrated called him one of the NBA's 15 greatest rookies of all time. Holy shit. He's killing it with the Pistons. This year, he looks like he's in phenomenal shape and set for a fucking monster year. Couldn't have been nicer. He's doing stand-up. He's funny. He's one of these athletes that has made a name for himself in the entertainment business, and everyone wants him on his on their show. He did a Montreal gala show where he hosted and had a bunch of comics on. And he's just a great dude, man. You know, it's being a comic, you want to be friends with athletes. And when you meet them and you get to hang with them and they're as cool as you wanted them to be and then cooler, it just is, it means everything. So Blake Griffin is the man. He crushed it on this episode. It's a great ep if you like hoops and you like comedy. We do it all. Follow Blake on Twitter and Instagram at BlakeGriffin23. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. Follow us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get the pod. Tell your friends, tell your family. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. And tell us why you got the pod, how you got into it, your favorite eps. And I'm going to send you guys some free Adam Ray merch. I'm still on this kick right now, baby. You guys are sending the emails, and I love reading them. Like this one from David Hansberger in Tonopah, Arizona. It says, greetings and salutations from Tonopah, Arizona. I learned about the podcast when Brad was on your mom's house with Segura and Christina P., and he said he had a podcast with Adam. I promptly went looking for it on iTunes and proceeded to do a deep dive into your archives. There are some true gems in that library. You and Brad should be proud of that work. And I filled many an hour getting as caught up to date over the last couple of years. I enjoyed the episodes with your mom and the ones with your nieces. Tell Brad congrats on the baby. I'm sad he's leaving, but he will be missed. Thank you, David Hansberger, for the email. Here's one from Ryan Chalit. Ryan from Cincinnati here. I've been a big fan of the pod since I saw both of you on Something's Burning and subsequently watched Brad's his This Isn't Happening story. And listen to your comedy album, Read the Room. I haven't missed an episode. As a fellow member of the tribe and growing up in a very Jewish household, I can respect any person who can tell a great story. I also love a good midget joke. If you feel inclined to send me something, here's my address. Thank you, Ryan. One more. Joe says, well, thankfully I listen to the pod all the time, so hopefully I don't miss out on the Milwaukee date. I still can't believe you're going to read this. I love the pod. Thank you so much, Adam. Thank you, dude. And here's one more from Joe. Joe Ricard says, I love the show. Can't really remember how I heard about the show. I've been listening for a long time. Your Tony Danza impersonation kills me every time. Sorry to hear about Brad leaving, but I'm happy for him. And I know the show will still be great. I work on jump bikes and scooters in Atlanta and stream the show as soon as I see a new episode. It's never below 90 here. Having something fun to listen to while it's hot is great. I've never seen a stand-up show live, but I plan to change that soon. Be on the lookout for you guys next time you're here. All the best. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Joe. Keep those emails coming, aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Get my album, Read the Room, on Spotify and iTunes. And comment on the iTunes page and give us a 5-star rating. All right, so many great eps coming up still. Richard Jefferson, Adam Devine, Dana Carvey, Brent Morin, John Stamos, Henry Winkler. So make sure you are subscribed. And now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Blake Griffin.
Jenner joke may have been my favorite of the entire roast. You had a handful, huh?
You
went after
like four.
I think it was the one that was.
Hold up the mic, man. Let's go.
All right. I think it was the one about nobody in the family wants.
Oh, that's why I dick. Yeah.
Yeah. How much did you write of your own stuff of that?
I wrote It's hard to tell. I guess of the things that came out, I'm not even really sure. But like of my whole set, I don't know, half maybe.
Oh no, shit!
I wrote for a long time.
And yeah,
I had, you know, I had some help from some friends here and there, and then like punch stuff up, change stuff around.
Comedians, right? Not like NBA friends. Like, yeah, no. Like, yo, Vladdy, you no, got any good Chris Red jokes?
Would never, no. Wasn't asking NBA friends for joke advice.
It is crazy how, like, you know, like charismatic you can see an NBA athlete on TV or in commercials, but it's like you truly are, you know, an anomaly in this field where it's like to be funny and have timing and chops, unless you know of other, like, funny NBA stars that just don't have the balls or the time to.
I don't think any guys have even done it. I'm sure there are guys that could, you know.
I'm thinking
decent timing, yeah, but
I'm thinking J.R. Smith.
Really?
Yeah, that to me that seems like he would just walk out on stage, he would take his shirt off, a la Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
And then it would just go from there.
That's Bert has the body to take his shirt off. In a weird world, Bert has his body to take his shirt off. Bert J.R. doesn't, yeah.
What kind of got you interested in doing all the comedy stuff? Because you've done now 2 years at Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Obviously doing this roast. Like, what was your interest in comedy?
I just loved it always growing up, and I never really like thought I would like try to do any type of stand up. Especially just because, like, I know like you know, guys like yourselves are like have been doing this for a long time and have like grinded and started like literally, you know, at the bottom. And I never want to like go take time away from somebody who's like trying to get on stage, you know.
Right.
So like the only time I really do it is if I'm hosting something. Like, I host my charity event every year, so I get to pay, you know, 5 comedians to come do stand up for charity, and so I, in my mind, I'm like giving somebody you know, a job or an opportunity.
Yeah, you did the same thing in Montreal where you, like,
hosted the Midnight Surprise show.
Yeah, you had your spot, but then other comics get the spot as well.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I never want to, like, you know, come in and, like, walk into, like, a place and be like, no, I'm doing 10 minutes or whatever.
Right,
sorry,
right,
man. I never, like, you know, I'm not, like, taking money, like, the door money or anything like that. So hopefully, like, you know, I'm approaching it the right way, I guess.
Is it nice that you have that form like a stand-up comedy where you could truly kind of say whatever you want, where when Andrea Kramer puts a microphone in your face after a game, you're like, all right, I got to stick to the script because I don't want to
100%. 100%.
Kramer's pretty chill, though. I feel like you can say whatever the fuck you want, you know, and she'll roll with it.
Yeah, it's
fine. She'll yes, and.
Doris Burke is like, Burke, dude, let's make fun of the Jews,
Doris, a known anti-Semitic. Did I just out her?
Is there pressure? I mean, like, when you see. I know you did this bit on Fallon recently about the questions, like the post-game questions and how, you know, tired you are and how, like, there's, you know, people are always like, I don't know if it was you defending saying athletes aren't dumb, but it's just like, think about working out for 2 hours and then getting asked the same shit. Like, how do you feel? I think you even jokingly said, like, how do you feel right now?
Yeah, it's mostly not the ones that are, like, on the court after the game. It's the ones in the like, the post-conference setting. Where you sit there and, like, you know, it's like 20 reporters or however many, depending on the game, and somebody always asks just a ridiculous question.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous
shit.
Not even not so much TMZ stuff. It's just like you can tell that, okay, I've written my story. Mm-hmm. I just need him to. Need something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need a quote to say this, and if I can tell you've written your story beforehand, I will not give you the quote you're looking for.
Whoa.
Yeah. So like if they're leading you into an answer, like, so if you wanted to compare this coaching style with Doc Rivers, would you say your current coaching style is better?
Or something like that.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to say Blake Griffin hated all the Clippers. So
screw you.
I'm not
gonna give you like people always ask me about the Clippers. Like always.
Sure.
Every time I do an interview. And, like, you know, I'll answer, just like try to be truthful, and sometimes I won't. No matter what, some people are always like, I mean, dude, like, get over it, like, move on. I'm like, dude, I get asked this every time I do an interview. Most of the time, you don't hear about it. It's just the occasional time where either I said the perfect thing where they can cut it here and make it sound like here, you know, like
I would prefer that they have kids do some of the post game.
Yeah, they'd ask better questions.
Because A, you're gonna be a little bit more tolerant and like you know, if they're just like, why'd you lose? Yeah. You know, do you miss that dunk? Was that because you didn't try? Like
honestly, why'd you lose is a better question than most of, because most of the time they're like, so, you know, in the third quarter you guys did this and this and this. What do you think happened there? I'm like, you just told me.
you just told me that we went, that they went on a run and we went drive to the free throw line.
So why did you lose just gives me an answer to like reflect in my own head and say it. You know what I mean? Instead of like setting me up. Like,
there you go, ESPN. Yeah. You know, don't.
Especially if it's some little fat kid with a lisp.
It's just adorable.
Yeah, you're just like, dude, I don't know. It's,
I'm sorry.
You're not going to get
But like, listen, there's really great reporters who don't do that at all. Totally. You know, they have like very good insight. It's just the ones that, because a lot of people can get credentials to be media. Yeah. I feel like
when you were growing up in Oklahoma City, right?
Mm-hmm. There you go. Guys, did your research?
Well, yeah. We talked about this first time I met you at Neil Brennan's show because my mom grew up in Ada, Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, that's
so,
right.
And my folks
lived
in Tulsa, so I used to go there all the time, and I would get excited to go play bingo in Oklahoma City with my grandparents and get Brahms ice cream. That was
Brahms.
Yeah. What was it like growing up there? And
well, I didn't know anything different. Mm-hmm. So, like, all my friends were there. I played every sport. So, I had friends on teams, friends at school, friends in the neighborhood. So, like, that's all I cared about. Yeah. I didn't, like, when people are like, oh, wow, it must have been, like, boring or whatever. Like, it was just, just life. Yeah. Like, I had a blast because it was life.
You didn't grow up in New York City and then moved to Oklahoma.
Right.
You just had, and then, what is it true, you were homeschooled?
I was.
Yeah,
I was.
So like, was sports your way of getting that social interaction with kids? Or
that, and also just like my neighborhood happened to have, like my neighbors on the left, neighbors on the right, people across the street had two kids, people down the street had three, so it was like as soon as school was over for them, you know, they'd get home like 1, 2 o'clock, and we would just play outside all day, and then summer, all day long, every day.
That's the best, dude.
And then sports teams on top of that. I was like, I wouldn't like a, I guess a typical like homeschool kid that was like homeschooled and then I didn't really do anything extracurricular, you know.
Do you ever have cul-de-sac reunions with all the kids you played with all day?
I haven't, man. I haven't even talked to anybody back from the old neighborhood. Crazy. Terrell Grayson lived next door. He was like one of my best friends in the neighborhood and we got in a lot of trouble, but he was.
Doing what?
Well, nothing like bad.
What if you were like, nothing too bad, we killed this guy.
Still haven't found the body.
He was a drifter, he deserved it. It was fun.
Like we would like watch like a movie and like dudes would be having guns, so we'd get our BB guns.
Yeah.
And like one time we were shooting BB guns in his backyard and his mom was like, y'all better not break, you know, blah, blah, blah. Take that down to, there was like a big field, like a park in a field. Like take that down to the field. So we took cans and we had our BB guns and we were walking down the street and then all of a sudden we see like this, it was like starting to get dark and we see this police car like drive over kind of on the opposite side of the road and then another light pop up and it's like get on the ground like a guy the policeman. I have like no shirt on, we're like riding our bikes. I have to lay in like this grass in like summer in Oklahoma, so like, you know, you just get all like crazy itchy. Somebody called and said we were like walking down the street with guns. You know what I mean? And we didn't even think about it at the time. He put this in the back of the car, like drops it, like takes us back to, it was bad.
When were you, like, had you hit a growth spurt at that time yet? Were you like?
Oh, I was always like, I guess like the tallest, like for my class. And then I hit my growth spurt between eighth grade and ninth grade year.
So they probably thought it was a 25-year-old man just walking around with a BB gun.
Yeah. I can't remember how old I was.
He gave the kid a gun too.
I was like six. They're like, there's a 20-year-old.
He already had facial hair. He was killing it, man.
You went into high school just being like a new version of yourself.
Yeah, I remember like going to put like jeans on because you don't realize that it is happening, but I went to like put some jeans on that I hadn't worn since the last year and they were just like insanely short. I grew like 5 inches in like 2.5-3 months.
What's that like Tell me what it's like to outgrow a pair of jeans.
What's 5.5 inches like?
I'm wearing the jeans from Parks Junior High, man.
Sorry about that. Walked right into that.
Don't worry about it. Walked right into that. That is all something
I'm like, man, it was
done.
The worst, man. I just suck so bad.
Yeah, dude, I was like, am I gonna be 6 feet my whole life?
Tell Make me feel good about myself and tell me one crappy thing about being tall.
Sorry.
No, I'm serious. Like, well, like, yeah, is it what, like flying? Is it buying clothes?
Oh,
what,
yeah, clothes, cars, flying.
Yeah.
Everything kind of hurts all the time.
Everything kind of hurts. Is that like, so like growing pains is literally.
When I grew, like my ankles, knees, hips.
Yeah.
I had like stretch marks on places.
Oh, wow.
It was
gross, dude.
You know, you never got laid after that. What it's like.
Yeah, you never got laid after that. It's true. It's true. He's still there looking, folks. Yeah.
Were there, and you were playing hoops since when?
I think since I could probably, like.
With your bro forever, right?
My dad's also a high school coach. He coached high school for 40 plus years.
Damn.
So since I could, you know, walk, I've been.
Is there like a statue of him outside of the high school? Because he seems like one of those types of guys. He's been coaching there for 40 years.
Well, not the same high school, but he's won like, I think, 12 state championships, maybe more than that.
Damn.
In the state of Oklahoma.
Was John Voight's character in Varsity Blues based on him?
Well, he's black, so.
Not quite.
He's like Samuel. He looks like Samuel
Coach
Jackson.
Carter, yeah.
Yeah, Coach Carter.
Nice. Yeah, there it is.
Exactly. That's my dad.
Do you remember, like, I mean, so at like what young age? Like, did he like put a ball in your hand, or was it just like being around it?
Oh, it was just always, it was on TV. It was like we would go to my dad's practices, his games. I have an older brother who, you know, played. And so I just like, it was never like a thing where I got introduced to basketball. It was just a part of like life.
Dang, dad.
But I also, my dad was like great because he never forced us to like, he never forced me to play basketball.
Yeah.
We chose it on our own.
If you want this, you know, if you want the rest of this food,
yeah,
I better learn how to do a proper chest
pass. You want this bed?
Yeah, yeah. Was there? Do you remember a specific moment where you go like, "Oh, this is like basketball is no longer just
like I'm good
a game I'm playing with my friends, but like I'm good."
How do you go pro? Because for me, it was sixth grade.
Yeah,
I was quick, fat. I was the fattest kid, but I was quick, and I was the tallest kid. And I literally shot the three. Dominant, dude. Literally, yes. I was like in 1995. I was like, "I'm going pro. I'm going to be the first Jew out of Seattle into the NBA."
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you realize you.
I think I heard about that story.
Yeah. You're the legends.
And then I
plateaued it at 6 feet and a half. And then I was like, and then you realize too, at that height, you're like, oh, you need ball handling skills if you're going to be that size to go further. But like, was there a certain time where you like, I don't know, when you dunked or you, summer league?
Man, I was never like one of those kids who like, thought they were going pro. Well, I wanted to, but I never. Yeah. It was never like a foregone conclusion in my mind until like it was very, very real. Mm. Because like I was like, I was solid, but like I didn't like become like nationally ranked until like. I mean, it's gonna sound stupid, but like till my like right before my junior year,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So. I wasn't like one of those kids, like there's guys like O.J. Mayo and like the bronze of the world who are like, before that people knew, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because you played, did you play against Durant's AAU team?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, so like back in those days, can you look at a guy like Kevin Durant and be like, that guy?
Yeah, 100%. Those were those guys.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Like Derrick Rose, like Kevin Durant, like, mm-hmm. like Kevin Love was in my class and he was like, from the beginning, he was like ranked like, you know, top whatever.
Yeah.
Top 10, like probably like since eighth grade or something.
Yeah.
And I was never like really one of those guys. I like cracked the top 20 like right before like the rankings, right before the rankings really started to matter.
Gotcha.
So I just kind of was like not really a late bloomer, but kind of
yeah.
in like that world, I guess.
Yeah.
What was that attention like?
It was crazy. It was good because for me, it started on like a very small level and just slowly built. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was like, it was kind of like city, like basketball, like fame, I guess, for lack of a better word. And then state and then like region in college and then pro, you know, so you got built up to it. It didn't all happen at one time.
Right. And then you come into the league and I mean, and then what, your last preseason game is mm-hmm. when the knee thing mm-hmm. happened. I remember seeing that clip and just the look on your face when you landed from that dunk, you knew.
I just knew right away, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew something was wrong, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, did you just feel a pop or something?
Yeah, I like landed and felt like a little pop and I found out like a little bit later on, I went to like I had a second opinion. This doctor was like, I brought x-rays in because I'd been having a little like problems. Mm-hmm. And I'd had x-rays from like right before camp and then summer league. And I take him in, and this doctor's like, oh, you've had a stress fracture in your knee for like 2.5 months. And like, it was missed at first. So like, I don't know.
For a second opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, you know, yeah. I'm sure that's one of those things where if you don't address it right at that point.
Well, I didn't. And so I had to sit out that full, if I had caught it earlier on, then I probably wouldn't have had to sit out.
Wow.
So.
Was there a time when you.
That's not mine, right? Oh. Yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, you're good.
Was there a time when you got to the when that happened? When you were like, because I remember when that happened. I mean, you were so hyped up coming out of Oklahoma. Yeah. And was college experience good? By the way, was it?
Oh, I loved college.
Yeah,
loved college. It was so much fun.
What's it like to just be like, own the school as an athlete?
Well, I don't know. The football, like Oklahoma football, for sure. Runs the school.
Because that was right. Sam Bradford was your still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's like. That team was doing really well, so they probably...
And really, since, like Oklahoma football came back in, like, 2000, whenever Bob Stoops got there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, like, first year, I can't remember what it was, but, like, they won the national championship in, like, one of his first 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, well, because I know that I was at SC, and we were going against Adrian Peterson, and that's, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was, like, a little bit later. But then, from then on, like, Oklahoma football was back, and it's, like, it hasn't really left. I mean, not that we've won, like, a bunch of national championships, but they're top, like, five every year.
You know, did you and Bradford 10. Just walk around just to, like... Just
like, I've been playing against...
Fila jumpsuits. Just be, like... Yeah.
Just pop collars. no, I mean, I've actually known Sam for a long time. Like, we kind of, like, grew up in the same, you know, like leagues and stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't know, man. Sam was the man for sure. Basketball's kind of an afterthought. Not an afterthought, but it's just not what football is.
Do they cater pretty well to the, the student athletes? Like, you get like, and you got all that travel and everything, like, kind of set you up for the pros somewhat?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the whole like progression of youth basketball all the way through like AAU to college is like it does in a way get you ready for the NBA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you glad that social media wasn't as big as it is now, like when you were in college?
Yes and no, but like I feel like if it was around earlier, like kids now who are like LeBron's kids and stuff, like they know how to navigate it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of one of those things for us where it started to become new, and I don't think we knew how to really navigate social media.
Yeah.
So yes and no, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, but
right, because then if you grow up with it, then you'll know not to tweet racial slurs when you're 13.
Right. that's the extreme.
I mean, that should be an assumed thing. Yeah,
yeah, you would think. Hold on, I gotta call my lawyer.
Or just even like the kids now, like it's funny because there's always like a new draft pick, and it'll probably like start fading out, but like there's always a new draft pick who like ended up talking shit on like one of the players of the team that got drafted.
Oh, yeah. That was I remember that was Larry Nance Jr.
Got
drafted to the Lakers, and then he had this whole rant about Kobe back in the day.
Yeah.
And they found the tweets and they like, pulled up.
Kuz had a tweet that was like, Kuz had a tweet that was great. I'm not gonna bring it up.
Yeah, but,
you know, like not just that. It's like even like there was like an MLB player who had like the string of like really like racial stuff from back in the day, and it was just on his. It was just back in the archives of his Twitter.
Yeah,
I feel like kids that have like grown up, especially like I said, like LeBron's kids and like the kids that are big now, like they're not gonna have to deal with that.
Well, I mean you're a dad. Are you gonna try to introduce social media to your kids or try to hide the two of them?
I have like a private account that like family and friends follow, but I don't post them. I just like remember seeing like some of my teammates' kids who are like out there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd be at games and people would like take pictures of them, or like they'd have to stop and take pictures with. And I don't want any of that to touch my kids.
Yeah, so they're like a certain age, you know. If you're out and about and someone comes up to you and you happen to have your kids with you, is that when you're like, hey man, I'm with my kids? Like
I've done that a couple times, but if it's kids, I'll never.
Oh yeah,
but like sometimes like you know, adults and stuff.
35-year-old man has got a ball.
Yeah,
and you're like,
I'm like at the park with my kids.
Yeah, like I'm about to ride the teacups, dude. Like, chill out.
What's the craziest thing that you've said after a dunk, and that you've wanted to say, but you were so fucking riled up that the adrenaline got in the way? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where you say exactly what you meant to say after the dunk, but sometimes maybe like that path to get to the rim was so exhausting
that you wanted to be like, you want to fucking take that shit, but you were like exhausted. So you're like, that's what you fucking get. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna let you guys down with this answer, but I'm so I do not like.
No talk.
I don't. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't really talk like not like after like a big dunk like big dunk or something like that. I think.
Not even like a quick like you suck do, it or like
no.
feel my
I just kind of do like the stare like, thing.
The stare, yeah.
You know? Do stare.
I will. I used to do it more than I do now, but. I just, yeah, I don't.
Timothy Mozgov is still feeling your stare.
Stare.
And he probably wakes up and he sees that stare in his nightmares.
Yeah, he's
I was actually at that game.
Oh, and really?
And my brother-in-law had just gotten a call from his wife, my sister, and she, like, forced him to go up to the snack bar to take the call. He missed that dunk. It's like one of the greatest dunks of all time. And he came back and be like, something happened. What I missed? I go, how do I describe to you what just happened? Like, if you ever...
And he looked in the stands and pointed to you and you weren't there.
Where?
How did he know who you were?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's like, I don't know, if you ever saw a man just get completely demasculated by another man, that's what happened.
I mean, not to be, again, a shitty post-game reporter, but how do you describe, Blake?
That feeling. Taking,
but I mean, like, because it's not like you can plan, right? I mean, basketball is so much of just reacting and not trying to, you know, muscle memory, not think too much, right? So
to me, it's like, I don't know if other guys agree with this, like a dunk or a play like that, I don't know if it's just how you remember it, but I always remember it happening very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It all comes together because you kind of like, you go up to jump, like, if it's like coming off the rim and you're catching a putback, it's like, okay, this is happening. I need it to bounce like this. It bounced like that. Okay. You know what I mean? It all like comes together so slowly.
Yeah.
And then it happens. And then you feel like the woof of like either the crowd, if it's at home and it's a big, if it's on the road, then it's like, ooh, you know? And that's almost just as good.
I was about to say, what's better, having your hometown fans just explode, or like when you're on the road and the road fans just go, oh, like he just ruined our guy.
It's definitely at home, just because it lingers, and then they play the replay and you hear people go crazy over and you know what I mean? You hear it over and over. But on the road, it's really fun, especially if there's like a crowd that's like a lot of people talk shit, and it's just
and being in LA too, there's got to be like, you know, maybe you look over and you see like, you know, Bonnie Hunt or Vivica A. Fox being like, yo,
you know, Bonnie Dr. Hunt.
Oz, like somebody just being like, what the fuck,
somebody
man?
Dope.
Yeah, somebody dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, has that ever happened where you do some crazy play and you...
Yeah, you're in the garden and you stare down Spike.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that. I remember one time we were playing the Lakers and I kind of had like a baseline, like Andrew Bynum came up and like kind of a double clutch dunk. And I remember it might have been right before half. And I remember I always kind of go put my mouthpiece thing up, and I was walking by Jack, and he was like, he looked at me, he was like, I think it was my second year. I was like, wow, that's cool.
Got a Jack look.
Nice
double clutch.
Yeah.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, and it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day, and at night kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC free, and there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have, you know, been like, try these pens, we got these flavors and these, you know, you can put strawberry root beer foot. Like, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf.
Well, and there's got to be those moments because, like, as fans, we like to think that players aren't human and that you guys are just robots. You don't see that. You don't care about it.
It's cool.
Yeah. Well, has a fan ever yelled something out and you want to stop and be like, motherfucker? Like,
oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure. People cross the line.
Yeah.
For sure, people cross the line all the time, but most of the time, 99% of the time, I probably ignore it and just like keep rolling. But
do you ever use it and go, you know, and then just the way Reggie did with Spike?
For sure. 100%.
I think there was one clip where you were watching a replay and you threw water over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And it may have landed on somebody in the front row. But that was a complete accident, though, right?
Actually, that guy and me like recreated it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One time we were in like Cabo together actually, and we like recreated the whole thing. It was nice.
Where were you when the mouse at the palace happened, and what did that do to you as far as like how you viewed the game and what was the fan player relationship?
I just like thought it was nuts. This was like, that was like what, 2000? Ron Artest was still in Indiana, so that was like 2000, like six
early, yeah,
or maybe like even
maybe earlier, maybe
I don't four. Know I don't know exactly what it was, but like not really being in the league, no social media, like I saw it and it was like, that's crazy, like that's nuts, and I just never really registered to me like what the fans were doing, and because I wasn't in it, I didn't see it from a certain side,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like when, and I think all fans should know this, when you're shooting a free throw, mm-hmm. and the opposing team is the opposing team's fans are doing that wave thing, or they have those sticks mm-hmm. behind the hoop. Mm-hmm. Does that actually distract you?
I don't even see it.
Okay, so there you go. Stop doing that, stop fans. Doing all I mean, all you do is stand up and block my view when I have that seat. So stop it.
They want to be a part of the action.
I don't think I see it. Maybe at first, but then you're so used to it now that it doesn't even like.
Yeah,
it's almost weird when they're not there.
There you go. See, guys, you're making the opposing player more comfortable.
Yeah. I feel like it is weirder to shoot when it's dead silent than if it is like noise.
Do you have a pregame music or a pregame routine or pregame snacks?
I have. I do like a pregame snack. I do all of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of long and kind of boring. I'll give you an abridged version.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Bare Naked Ladies 1 week.
Yeah. It's been.
while eating a turkey and ham Lunchable,
mm-hmm.
but without the cracker. You just eat the meat.
Right, no gluten.
No gluten.
Obviously.
And then and you wash it down with a Fresca.
Nah, Capri Sun, man. you were right fool. There. You were so close.
What did I not win on this episode of Guess Blake's Snacks?
I do like this. Like, we have all these like homemade, like natural, like...
Yeah, dude.
Healthy energy bars that like aren't that great, but like you're just kind of like, all right.
You know? You're like, is this piss and oatmeal?
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, but it's good for you.
Dates with piss and oatmeal.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Adam Silver just announced that he's he's thinking about and discussing new tampering rules that would be like a $10 million fine if he finds out that you're tampering. Do you think you could ever stop players from just texting each other and being like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to...
No, but I also like, is that tampering?
I don't know. Like, he hasn't said what would be...
To me, tampering is like team officials making statements in the media about like their plans or who they like, if you know, unless it's like their own team. Like, I just saw somebody today, like just now, got like either warned or fined because the GM of Milwaukee basically said, when the time comes, we're gonna offer Giannis $250 million
yeah, max deal,
and that's like a form of tampering.
They're trying to get in the way, probably, of all the Warriors talk, right? To kind of be like, "Yo, Giannis," like, because that came out too,
right?
Yeah, fuck. I mean, and but if someone else is talking,
I'm sure he got asked about that, and was like, "Hey, what, you know?"
Well, so, and that's a hard situation for him to be in, because like, what are you gonna say? No, we're not gonna pay our player. Like, of course you're gonna say that you're gonna
pay the player. But even like, I'm not sure the context, so I don't know. But you know, conversations are had in private that like the NBA will never know about. So, you know, I guess I get the fine for tampering, like publicly saying it, because there's no need to, because that GM or whoever can just call his agent and be like, hey, this is, we're going to offer him $250 and that's never going to get, the NBA is never going to find out about that.
Yeah.
So the public thing, I guess I kind of get, like, they're just trying to crack down on it.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. What's it like to score 50 points? And what is it like to go to a new city and fucking be so dominant? Almost, I mean, I feel like, you know, you've never really had a bad season, but like, dude, I feel like you took it up a notch. What's that?
I've had some bad seasons.
I mean, yeah, but like, to us, it's like, did you score? If you score in the NBA, I'm like, you fucking
guy averages two points, man.
This guy's good, man. He contributed.
That's a one basket.
Hey, man. Mark Madsen had some good years.
He did. He took a couple charges. And he probably still brags about it. But, but like, to go to a completely new environment, that I think it's so, as a fan, we just expect, like, yeah, it's fucking Blake Griffin, dude. He's like, he can't go to a new scene and be just as dominant and acclimate. But it's like, I mean, how much do you think you should be able to do that? And how much is there actually, like, a transition period?
There is a transition. Well, for me, there definitely was a transition period because I'd never been traded before. So I like, it was, everything was new.
To be, right?
Everything was new. Mm-hmm. Like, especially going to a team in the middle of the, or not even the middle of the year, like, you know, we had, I think, 30 games left when I got traded, and I just, like, it took me some time to, like, get acclimated and just used to, like, not only my teammates, but just being in a different place, because I had only played in 1 year.
Yeah, when you get traded, place. Where do you stay? Do you stay at the owner's house? Do you stay with
a... You get, they normally, the team has to put you up in a hotel for, like, a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And then, like, until you can find something.
But, yeah, like, you're playing while you're trying to get settled into a life.
I would like go look for like apartments, or like I ended up like basically Airbnb-ing a house for like the last like for like March and April. But I don't know, man. It was kind of weird because at that point in my career, you know, I had like 3 years in a row of like some type of injuries,
right.
and you know, I don't know that I was necessarily well received in Detroit, because you know, like this you know, which I, you know, as just a fan of basketball, I'm not like blaming anybody, but it wasn't like I got traded and it was like, oh yeah, like,
yeah.
Oh, really? Not everyone, like, some, you know, some fans were very nice, very supportive,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't 100% well received.
You didn't get that like initial, like, you know, intro and everyone just went nuts. It was kind of like split.
No, not so much in the arena.
Oh, okay.
I just mean, like, you know, because you hear everything. You can't. It's hard to block everything out. And,
sure. Does that give you extra motivation where you're like, well, these guys?
Yeah, 100%. But like, you know, you also like you have to earn people's respect. I don't. Sure. You know, you, as a player, you don't just automatically assume, you know, everybody's just gonna love you. You got to go like earn that. And the way you do that in Detroit is. It's not, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's like those fans are very well educated when it comes to sports, and they're very passionate, and they care if you care and you play hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think they're smart enough to know, like, okay, these guys aren't going to win every game, and it's not going to happen overnight. But, like, you got to play hard, and you got to, like, you know, care about the team, basketball, whatever you're doing. And that's what I really appreciate about you know, the fans in Detroit, is they're just such good sports fans. You know what I mean? And
that's great. And it's great to hear. And that's going to make you feel better, because I'm sure there's a party when you get traded. You're like, oh, I thought I was going to be on this team for a while. But then you go to Detroit, and then you adhere yourself to those fans.
Big dude.
Yeah, I think that was your brother. My brother? Oh. Yeah. Here's one. Are you happy with your NBA 2K rating?
What is it?
Okay, I don't know. I didn't know if that was a thing, because I hear about football players going nuts for their Madden ratings.
I don't play. I don't play 2K. Okay. So I don't necessarily care as much about that. I know it's like a big thing, and when people get their ratings and they're not happy with them, then they're upset. But
I got a question for you. Yeah. What's a better feeling? You got a shit, and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. And you make it to the bathroom.
That's going to be tough to do.
Versus seeing an alley-oop tossed up by whoever and for a second being like when you know it's about to happen, right? You run down the court. I don't know how quick. We just had GP on, and he said him and Kemp, he used to do a little like, ee, like fucking thing like that. So I don't know, whatever, when you know it's about to happen and you see the lob go up maybe too high and you still somehow get to it.
Probably definitely the shit still. No, they're both great.
Has there been a lob that you definitely didn't think you were going to get to when you got to?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sometimes you just like...
Can you make yourself jump higher when you're already in the air?
I mean...
That seemed like a good question. The right type of throw. Like, if a lob's too high and it's too fast, too, like, straight, probably no chance. But, like, if they, like, really, like, lob it, you know what I mean? You can kind of, like... adjust a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Steph Curry just announced after the FIBA tournament that he wants to play for Team USA and get a gold medal in the Olympics. Is that something that's on your bucket list in terms of like you
want a gold medal? For sure. I've always wanted to. I made the team the London Olympics, and I literally like got hurt like I think the day before we started playing our like exhibition games. That was the year Anthony Davis was my replacement.
Okay.
Well, this was like he was.
Yeah, he was at literally Kentucky, right?
Hadn't even played in the NBA. He was still awesome, but I think playing the Olympics is definitely a goal. But you know, you gotta. I've learned to like not like really. I'm not focusing on that until the time comes.
Yeah,
if,
sure.
If the opportunity presents itself, you know.
Who would win in a one-on-one game, Michael Jordan or Rick Glassman?
Current Michael Jordan, yeah. Current Rick Glassman, or prime Rick Glassman, or does he think he's in his prime now?
Glassman?
I think
there was maybe 5 years ago. Okay. I played in many a comedy leagues with him.
How good is Rick?
Let's never met a shot he didn't like.
Yeah, I believe
would
that.
Jack up threes. I mean, he was the original. Like, you know, when people were like, "Dude, Steph shoots it from so far back." Yeah, Rick would shoot from that far back. And sometimes just
as a joke, was he doing bits while he was playing?
Hilarious, dude. Sometimes I remember he yelled at a wheelchair ref once, and I was like, "Is this a bit?" But
I wouldn't even do that.
Yeah. But then, no, I mean, he quick, like surprisingly quick. You know, do you ever get like that on the court where you're playing against somebody and you go, "Oh, I've done my scouting. I know, or I've seen them play,"
for sure.
And then they,
you like, you know, somebody who just. Was the most deceptively not a quick person, but he was very deceptive. Was Boris Diaw? Remember
him?
No
way.
Of course,
he would do. He would just like do like this thing where he was kind of like bringing it up court, and he would just like somehow spin or like twist, and like he'd be gone in a second. I mean, if you were ready for it, you were fine. But like if you relaxed at all, he was like so good at like taking advantage of that.
Who's the most fun guy you've played on the court with, like where you just like, you guys know you're competitive but you always maybe make jokes with each other? Or
the most fun,
whether it's a teammate or a opponent.
I used to really love, like, every time I'd play against Tim Duncan, he would always do that. I've told this story before, but he would always kind of do this thing where like first time out or first like free throw and you're like lined up against each other, he would kind of always just like look at you and be like, not you again, or like, oh, I'm so sick, I'm fucking sick of you. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, just joking around. And I always thought that was cool because
that's rare, right? Everyone's pretty serious on the court.
Not as, like, I feel like when I first came in the league, everybody was so serious. It's probably because I was a rookie and everybody hated me. But I feel like everybody's like, you, like, everybody's so friendly now. Like, you'll occasionally have like a certain guy here and there, but I feel like everybody's really friendly.
Does that take away
now.
Some of the? Do you try to create or go out of your way to? What's up, Blake? Fuck you! Just get yourself like fired up.
Spit on people.
Yeah.
I don't know if it takes away, man. I think I've just learned to like kind of shift my mindset. Because when I first came in, I was very much the same way. I would like, you know, I didn't want to like really like talk to people unless I was really close with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just kind of the way basketball is now. We all grew up playing against and with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like everybody knows everybody.
What was it like to be on the court with Jordan for the first time?
I was never on the court with Jordan.
Never? No. Played against him?
You mean like in an NBA game?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan? I've only been in the league since 2009.
I thought Jordan retired in like 2011.
What Jordan are you talking about?
Wizards Jordan.
No. Jordan retired in like, from the Wizards, he yeah. again retired, or for the third time retired in like, I can't believe I don't know this, but
early
2000s, way before I was way before.
What about
I was
Eddie
there.
Jordan on the Grizzlies? No,
yeah, Eddie Jordan. Me and Eddie, man, fuck, for the first time.
When arguably the better Jordan.
Yeah,
you stretch your acting chops a little bit in Whitney Cummings' movie,
mm-hmm.
The Female Brain. Is that something that you want to continue, or if parts come up, great? But are you gonna like do the LeBron production company thing and like try to go nuts?
I don't know about act like Whitney and Neil Brennan, mm-hmm. you know, wrote that movie together and they basically kind of written a part that was pretty much for me, you know.
Yeah,
it was like a professional athlete who
grew up in Oklahoma. Yeah, got slightly red hair.
So yeah, like, black, white, extended.
I hate to break it to you, it was Freddie Jordan. So you just were available.
Yeah, he was still playing at the time. So I kind of did that one because it's like, you know, that was like made for me. Two people who I really like wrote it, and I'll do things here and there that I think are really fun. But I have like started doing like some production stuff here and there.
Mm-hmm. Bring it back, Air Bud.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm playing the part of Bud.
Yeah,
that'd be fucking great. The voice of the dog. Yeah. He never talked.
Yeah. All he does is he puts the Snapchat dog filter on his face, and
why aren't these animal roles going to people?
Someone will start griping about that. I did always think that when I watched those movies, I was like, I want to hear the dog fucking like when he catches the frisbee, like. It's like no big thing, like the same way when we talk about you dunking, like
you want some celebration, you want a little showmanship from Bud.
That's what the movie missed. If I could Roper and Ebert it,
if you can go back and like pee on the opponent or something like that, that's solid.
Yeah, dude,
that's solid. I mean, I'm sure
like,
some guys.
But he could go the other way and do like a nice thing and go just start sniffing asses on the other team. He's like, what, dude? I'm just trying to say what up.
I'm trying to say what's up. That's how my people do it. Doris Burke, don't stick that microphone in my face if you don't want my nose in your butt. I've said it a million times.
Yeah, and I'll say it again.
Oh, I'm the bad guy. Yeah. I'm the bad dog.
I know we got to wrap up in a second.
No, you're good.
But
you're good.
Space Jam 2, or is that something that you're going to be a part of?
No.
No?
Absolutely not. No, I wasn't. It was never even brought up to me.
Okay. Because I know that was a big thing.
What about Red Dawn 4?
Yeah. Well, it's on the radar if our scheduling works out.
Yeah. But it is...
How do you spend the off season? Like,
yeah.
First finish, I don't really do anything for 2 weeks. No working out, no basketball. I don't even pick up a basketball.
Yeah.
So I'm really just like here, kind of like working and stuff and enjoying like having some free time. And then I start to slowly get into it. I start lifting and like doing like yoga or something just to do something. And after about a month, I start doing basketball. So like this year, like around June. Like beginning of June, mid June.
Nice. Okay.
And then in the mornings it's all workout, and in the afternoon I'll go do whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Do you try to stay pretty disciplined? Like, is it?
Yeah, but I also like over the years I've learned to like in the off season I have to like kind of enjoy food and like travel and stuff because during the season I eat so strict and you know you can't you once the season starts next week, there's no vacation. There's no
right.
There's only you only get one day off about a week, and like you know that's it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's just how it is. So like in the off season, I've learned to like really like enjoy like my time off.
Have a cheat day. Now,
yeah.
Right.
Have a cheat 6 months.
What were you doing that off day during the season? Like just sleep or like go see a movie?
Off day during the season. Yeah. I'll like sleep in, eat. Just like watch TV, go see a movie, anything like that.
You guys get massaged constantly too, yeah?
Yeah, but it's like deep tissue massage. Yeah. Where it's like
so it's not the nice
elbow
one.
Like hurts, you know. Yeah. But you like learn to like enjoy those.
How necessary is all that stuff? Ice bath and all that?
It depends on the player. Like for me, like I you know, last season I played like the most minutes since my rookie year, I think.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I also played like 76 of our 82. So like my recovery now for me is huge. So it's like, you know, you spend 2 hours a day just doing recovery, like modal, like stuff to like help recover on top of like practice and all that. But for me at this point in my career, like that's what I do. And like, that's what, you know, allows you to play.
Yeah. For this upcoming season, we had one of the crazier NBA off seasons that's ever happened with just guys going everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like in the previous years we've kind of known like what two teams were going to be near the top like almost from the beginning of the year
for a long time
so like is this year are you is there some extra excitement like what's going to happen like who like what teams are going to be on top
and also just because it also feels like a trade or an injury can really really change the landscape too. You know what I mean? Like the parity in basketball is at all time high, not all time high, but it's as good as it's been in a while.
Yeah. Which is great.
But like there's also other teams who could like make a trade and also like pop up and not be like a team, you know what I mean? Because it's not so stacked. Like I think like even if like Clay and KD don't get hurt, the Warriors are winning that series. It's not in my mind. Not that Toronto doesn't deserve it. They absolutely do because just like in the past, like the Warriors were they didn't get injured. You know what I mean? Steph got injured at one time, but they really like they had everybody together.
Yeah,
and that's part of being a championship team. Right?
Yeah, it was like Draymond getting suspended the 1 year that the Cavs won. That kind of allowed Cleveland
that helps. You never know what's going to happen, but that helps. It's like all those things. And again, that's not to take away from like a team that wins a championship. That's part of it. Like you're the timing, like. All that stuff goes into it. You know what I mean? It's not always just, okay, throw the ball up and, you know, this whatever happens. There's variables.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something about the season? Like, what gets you most, like, jacked up for it? Like, is it just, like, the first game, like, getting back, like, seeing everybody? Like,
I just, like, it's kind of weird. At the end of every season, you've played so many games that you're so tired. And, like, you know, whenever it ends, like, you're kind of like, whew, like, I need to just like not think about anything for a while, and then at the end of every off season, I'm like right now I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to like play again, like have that feeling, have that kind of like different type of structure.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Are you one of those guys? Like you hear the stories of the legendary Michael Jordan, who according to Adam Ray, you played against, that was just like super competitive all the time. Like
you and Bob Cousy were friends, right?
Like. If you sit down and play a game of cards, a game of Hungry Hungry Hippos, are you that competitive all the time, or are you able to like turn it off turn it back on just for basketball?
Quick question. I think I'm able to mask it.
Okay.
But not like if I'm playing like a game with my kids.
Oh, sure.
Like, I beat them every time, you know? So, you're able to like kind of like, you know, cuz we play cards on the plane and it's like I also get the camaraderie part of it. You know what I mean? I want to win every single time.
Yeah.
But like cards to me, it's not the same as like basketball or even something else like physical. Mm-hmm. I guess my competitiveness is more like in that realm.
Okay.
Do
you get starstruck? Or have you pretty much just like been in so many dope situations and parties? I remember I was at what after party was a
SBNB I saw Awards.
You and Drake were there. Was it Chappelle? Chappelle?
Oh.
After the New Year's show. Him and John Mayer, I think. At Delilah's.
Yeah, it wasn't New Year, though. That was...
of course, yeah. Wow, you don't remember walking by and, like, barely looking at me, dude?
Yeah. Was that
so
New Year?
So what up, Blake? And you gave me a hug.
Was that New... Oh, yes, yeah, I'm dude. Sorry.
And then Drake walked by.
Because I wasn't... Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, yo, I'll be right back.
I just showed up to that part. Yeah.
Well, what, that was... That was New Year's.
That was New Year's.
Yeah, it was the Chappelle Joe Mayer.
Yes.
But, like, you know, that was... That's just... I mean, there were so many cool people there.
Yeah.
And I feel like those things are just, you know...
Listen, man.
Now, or do you, still-
you know, when you've lived a dope now. yeah, I mean, there's times like...
Like, you know Peja Stojakovic.
I know.
How cool is that to think about you
can
before
text
you go to bed?
Death yeah. Shrimp.
Can you right
I
now?
Don't know, man. Sure. Like, if I met, like, Tom Hanks, I'd be like, whoa, that's Tom Hanks. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know about, like, starstruck anymore. I remember the first time I, like, in the NBA, I remember I was... One of our first preseason games was against the Spurs. I was like warming up. This is like way before the game. And I kind of like turned and I looked down and Tim Duncan was warming up on the other end. And I just stopped. And I was like, oh, I can't believe this is about to happen. I mean, he got drafted in like the, you know, in like the 90s. Like I've been watching him since I was 8 years old.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
And like now I'm about to finally play against him. Like that's crazy.
I had that same feeling when I acted with Jim Belushi on According to Jim.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I've been seeing this guy in so many Lifetime original
movies. I get it. And the first time I played with James Naismith, man, I was so dope. It was just like surreal. Like this guy created basketball and here I am in the All-Star game last year.
They're keeping him alive. This is weird stuff. Yeah. Now, have you had the time now where some rookie has come up to you and been like, oh, God, Blake Griffin, like, I can't believe I'm playing against you? Because
for sure.
No, well, because like I would never have gone up to Tim Duncan and said that. No guys like really do that. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it kind of admits weakness or something.
Yeah. I don't want
to admit you're a fanboy.
But also, like, now, like, there's just guys who, like, because of social media, because all this stuff, you're kind of connected to guys before they even get in. Like,
yeah, like, are you texting with Bull Bull?
I just call him Bull.
Bull son?
Yeah. His name is Bull Bull.
Yeah.
He's from Oregon. He's the same height. He's legit.
He's huge.
Fuck yeah.
Where is he? Denver? He's in Denver?
Yeah, I think it was a late draft pick.
He dropped a lot.
This has been Bull Bull talk. Yeah, so like the players coming up, do you have contact with them? Like if you see a college guy do something legit, do you send a tweet, send a text?
Yeah, I mean, there's just certain guys who like, you know, some. I have an AAU program now, so like,
oh, nice.
Or like it's called EYBL, like Elite Youth Basketball League.
Mm.
And so you like, I would go to tournaments, so I'll see kids play, and like you meet kids, and then like eventually like they're in the NBA, like that's just how it works. So
yeah, when did a guy like Zion get on your radar? Like,
I mean, what, this is like sophomore year of high school? Because his like dunks are so crazy. They're all over Instagram. Well, maybe I don't think he didn't blow up till like maybe junior year. But like,
yeah,
still, that's like, that's crazy.
So you guys knew like at that point, like people were talking about Zion, or you heard.
Yeah, but it's also hard to know. Like, I didn't know how good of a basketball player Zion was because all I saw was him dunking. It's not like I saw game footage.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean?
He's not doing like people would be like Hakeem Olajuwon dream shake.
Right.
Or something.
People are like, you know, what do you think of the Zion kid? I'm like, honestly, I have no idea. Not that I think he's bad, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's
so
all
you're
I
saying
see
he's bad?
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Zion Williams.
Blake thinks he only dunks. Yeah. Were the guys you try to model, because you're like considered up in the greatest dunkers of all time, which is crazy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. By me, my
Vince.
Mom, Brad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Carter. Yeah, that's a guy. Like, who I was gonna say, who do you model, or who did you like aspire when you were a kid looking, and you were like, dude, I'm gonna.
Yeah, not necessarily model, like, you know, because it was two completely different type of players. But like, he to me is like the best dunker of all time. In game, like dunk contest. Dunker, like everything.
Does it all. Because there's guys that can just do like cool pregame dunks, right? But maybe in the
for
game,
sure.
They don't have the...
Yeah, he can do it all. And he's the best dunker of all time.
And
so it's like...
Still playing.
Still playing.
It's coming back. 41, age 42, I want to say.
48. 58. No, he's 58. It's crazy.
Who retires first? Vince Carter, Tom Brady?
Vince.
Okay.
I think this... I mean, I don't know. I could probably keep going, but...
See, I would hope that they would somehow trade him back to Toronto and like mid-season.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I know,
that'd
dude. Cool.
Like mid-season, he goes
finish
back.
Story.
I thought that was going to happen.
Me too.
Yeah,
Now, do you think
you'll go back to Oklahoma, quit the NBA, go back to college? It'd be a great story, dude.
Oh, dude, go to class. That's
a plot of Airboat
stuff.
54. Actually, no. The plot of Airboat 54 is he opens a club in homage to Studio 54. And he's like, I can never go in. I was a dog. And they're like, you can talk? It's a work in progress.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Bring in some sentimental facts. Yeah,
exactly. Is there an arena you're most pumped to play in that has that's cooler than others?
The Garden.
It is.
In New York. It's like there's – it's all real. Like everything you hear about. It's like the energy is just different there. And like if – I guess the – best they've been since I was in the NBA is when I guess we played them when they'd just gotten Carmelo. I remember Mari was there for his first year and he was killing his first year.
He was taking those red wine baths.
Yeah.
That's his secret.
He had just converted to Judaism.
Yeah. And then blew his knee out. So fucking, you know.
But
again,
I remember
Jews
playing there.
Make it in the NBA.
I mean, they're cursed.
They're cursed, dude.
Shortly after.
Yeah.
His trip to the motherland.
Yeah.
He was like, Baruch, that's a fuck. Dude, you fucking shouldn't have done it, dude.
Oh, man.
Take off the kippah.
But like going to play them at that time, there was just,
they were
just
stacked.
That was like, the Garden was like, it's just like a buzz at all times. There's just a energy like moving around.
Also, it's like right in the heart. Like it's such a dope spot in the city where there's so much happening right around it.
Yeah, it's really, really, really cool place. But there are other, like Boston Garden is awesome too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How was Seattle?
Or I guess TD Garden, whatever it's called.
Key Arena?
I never played there either. but you're close because they left the and then I got drafted the following year.
Yeah,
so I never played like in that arena.
What was it like to play there on 2K?
Oh yeah, dude. Oh man, the
assholes,
energy.
Man. I had a second part to that question.
The energy.
Yeah, the energy.
I've heard from guys that Seattle was awesome. Yeah. Guys loved playing in Seattle.
Really?
Loved.
Fuck.
And I have teammates who are from Seattle who are like, dude, there's just no, like, I've been there, like, I played in Jamal Crawford's pro-am.
Oh, did you really?
Up there.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome, like, basketball town.
It's a big sports city.
Seattle needs a basketball team. From what I hear, I don't, you know, never got to play
there. Can you help out with that? I put like, $500 down. I sent it to Silver PayPal. He actually didn't confirm it. I think it was another Adam Silver, but...
Turns out Silver doesn't have PayPal.
Who knew?
People think he's a man of the people.
Would you, you see like Shaq doing like Papa John's and everything. Like, do you think like, man, is there a point where I'm just going to like, because there's got to be people coming.
Do everything.
Do everything.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Shaq to be like, yo, you need a tampon? You know, like just new Shaq pawns.
Shaq's going to be the next sponsor of About Last Night.
I hope so. Yeah.
We'll see if we can make it happen.
Is
there a product, though, that you see?
Get like, that money back from Silver's PayPal.
Sure.
And try to
Shaq.
Yeah. Send it back. But is there something you see that you're like, man, that'd be cool if I could get involved with Jamba Juice or.
You mean like owning stuff or like just doing commercials?
Like commercials.
Oh.
Because the Kia ones were so
dope. No, man. I did that and I like. It like ran its course.
Yeah.
There are like I only do stuff now that I really like will enjoy, or it's like kind of a partnership, or like
it pays well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That too.
You know.
No, I hear you. Something you believe in, right?
Yeah. No. Something like I sort of like started kind of like restructuring all my deals to where like if I was going to do a commercial, I was going to do something creative, I got creative control.
Awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's way more fun to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I got into like I wanted to like try like, you know, produce stuff here and there.
Yeah.
Is like it's so much fun to me to like, okay, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. You have the idea, you go from A to Z and you know, you deliver this product because then I'm like happy about it. I used to have to like shoot a commercial that had no creative control and I'd be like, this isn't funny. And they're like, we can't change it now.
Yeah.
And so you do it and it comes out. And every time I would see it on TV, I would be like, ugh. Like, it's just like, I didn't like it. So I just like, as long as like I'm able to like be a part of it from the beginning to the end, I'll at least be like somewhat proud of it. And like, it might not be like the best thing ever, but I'll at least like know that like, this was like a full thing that I, you know, worked on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was probably a similar thing with the roast where you're like, you didn't want to just take jokes from the writers. Like, you wanted to have your personal point of view in there and, you know, actually if it succeeds, great. That was because of you. If it fails, okay, that's because of me. Like, I can't blame anybody else.
Right.
Like you had complete control of the situation.
Absolutely. Like, there's something about ownership. So I wasn't trying to say like I only do commercials that I believe in the product. Like, you know, it's just like, it's just kind of different at this point in my career. Sure. I don't want to just like sign on, be the spokesperson and like do something, especially, you know, now with like everything lives everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's just like on TV and it goes away.
Mm-hmm. And then going back to the roast.
We'll wrap it up, yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything that was said to you where you were like,
you got your feelings hurt?
Like that one kind of got me.
Nothing that really got my feelings hurt. I don't really like get like that too often, but there was a lot that I was like, Nikki Glaser's, "You look like a black guy made by a printer running out of ink." It's so good.
I mean, it's a great joke. But at the same time, I think it was a Greg Fitzsimmons had this quote where he's like, "If you want to know exactly what people think of you, do a roast."
Yeah,
because that's what they're going to talk about.
Absolutely, and the big like laughter and applause only confirms it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like, oh, they're laughing because it's like funny, but it's not like, no, it's like it's confirmation for you.
So like when they laugh hard at that joke, you're like, wow, I guess I do look like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've also like, you know, I did like in Montreal this year when I was like judging one night at Roast Battle
I was there that night. That was the night where I popped out as the purple puppet or something.
Oh that's right. And Jimmy Carr came out and he goes, Blake Griffin, kind of orange, you know? It's like if Trump designed a black guy. So it's like, you know what I mean? I'm well aware that I have an orange hue to me.
But it's just that thing where and you could always say you're going to be prepared, but then once you hear, like you say, a comic do it and the whole room laugh at you, like, wow, motherfucker. Like,
I don't really like, I don't know, I think I thought they were really funny. There were some really good jokes. I can't believe I'm like blanking on some of the other ones. Chris,
go back and watch the roast, people. It's
Chris,
all awesome.
Red said it was like Blake Griffin looks like 9 different nationalities or something all teaming up to make sure he never wins the NBA championship.
That's Chris. Really good. When you said Nikki Glaser, when you were like, Larry Bird is here. Oh, sorry, Nikki Glaser.
That's
pretty good. I love a good Larry Bird reference.
I felt so bad because she was so like.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so great about you. You were like, I'm so sorry. You were so nice before. Like, you know,
I didn't know you were going
to
do this.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is you have to take all the feelings out of it and just be like, okay, I'm going to do these jokes.
Yeah.
Afterward, we'll all be cool.
Yeah.
But during that was a really fun roast to watch. You had a great mix of people that were like really close to Alec, and then people like yourself that were like the wild card.
Yeah.
And like when they brought that to you, did you immediately say yes, I'm doing it, or was there some hesitation?
De Niro does it.
I was like, yeah, I'll do that for sure.
That's great.
But I think I kind of wanted to hear like who was on the on the dais too, I wanted to do it for sure.
Yeah, so if you heard like Brad Williams and Adam Ray were on the dais, you'd be like, I'm not going to associate with those guys, dude.
If Eddie Jordan's there, I'm in. real quick, I want to know, what's a cooler feeling, hitting like, you know, a 3 at the buzzer, or like to, you know, I know you've done that a handful of times close the game out, or get an and-1 with a dunk, like somebody. He's going up, and you know when you're going up, someone's coming at you, and like you're going to take a lot of contact, and you get it anyway.
You mean at the buzzer, or like a game-winning 3, or like just dunking on someone?
Yeah. But in like, you know, when the stakes are high.
Yeah. Oh man,
is that tough?
That is tough because both of them are like, you know, like that.
Why'd you lose? I should have just done that.
Both of them.
What's cooler, like dunking or shooting?
The stakes are high.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You fart in your sleep? Like, I guess that's fucking, again, these questions.
Did
would be
you fart on Timothy Mozgov when you were above his head?
That's got to happen, right? Are guys farting on each other on the court?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I remember this story on Neil Brennan's podcast like 9 years ago. Neil got into the podcast, came early. I remember we were playing the Knicks that one game where I dunked on Mozgov, and I specifically remember being at the free throw line and just, you know, like, not, I wasn't shooting, I was lined up.
Yeah.
And some, and I farted. I don't know why I said somebody. I was going to deflect the blame. Yeah. And I remember somebody checked into the game and walks over and kind of like stands next to me and goes, oh. And I just go, yeah. You know, I just tried to like play it off because I was like, I can't believe that just happened. Because normally you're just moving so much.
Yeah,
like,
dude, yeah. It gets caught in the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. And you're like, man, James Dolan can really rip him like from his box.
Yeah.
Like, he's
yeah,
got
and
it.
We were in L.A., so I was like, that was a real stretch.
Like, it's going.
Yeah, it happens. Gus
Blake,
fart.
We cannot thank you enough for
doing
this.
Thanks for
yeah,
time,
thank
dude.
You for thank this you man. For having me. Sorry, I was late.
Oh no,
dude,
no worries.
Let's talk about why, dude. Your dentist is.
Yeah, man. I was at the hour and 45,
damn.
Hour 50 minute dentist visit. It's supposed to be 30 minutes. You know, that's how so, they get you like that. I think you yeah. pay by the minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So hey, if some company out there, if Invisalign wants Blake Griffin, then yeah you're available.
Up, man.
Do they try to chum you up in the dentist office, like when you're, you know, like, boy, do we don't have a big enough seat for you? Like, do they?
Oh,
you know,
everywhere you go.
Everywhere yeah, you yeah. go.
Watch,
right.
Watch your head.
Do they oh, now? Yeah. Does your dentist look at you as he has a drill in your mouth, going, "Can I get a signed ball?" Like, and you're like, "Well, you have a drill in my mouth right now."
Whoa,
it's not a bad idea. Talk to my dentist.
Yeah.
I think I maybe have signed something for my dentist before.
What's the weirdest thing you've signed?
A panini, and I watched the guy eat it.
Yeah. That's how we end it.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin signed a panini.
Oh my
signed
god!
Signed a panini, and then the guy ate it.
And then he ate it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a baller move.
He consumed yeah. your autograph.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure he was like, it was like a joke that maybe didn't go like as viral as he wanted it to. But yeah.
Yeah, that's when he looks up and goes, "You guys were recording, right?" What? And they just totally forgot. I ate it. I ate Sharpie for nothing.
Tries to get the
nothing.
Other half signed.
All right, well, you at Blake Griffin on Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah, at Blake Griffin 23 on Instagram and Twitter.
And you are funny on Twitter. I want people to follow you because you're not
I don't
just
tweet that much anymore, man.
But like you're
wow,
a guy
what are you
where
doing?
You're not. You're
fucking
what do you got to do, man? Why are you bad at Twitter?
It's funnier when you say it.
Son of a bitch! All right, we're gonna cut these mics. I'm gonna fight him.
You are a kid.
Yeah. Why'd you lose? Why'd you make fun of a dwarf on his own podcast?
I said you were funny.
That's 7 years bad luck, dude.
It's not, I'm going to talk about you at the meetings. It's not going to go well. We will attack.
Shit. Thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, thanks
Have
for having
season.
Me. Appreciate it. Thanks, yeah. guys.
Watch your knees, bitch.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?